NBA Strayer. Nice one. How you going? It's NBA Strayer, and it's Wednesday, December 6th. This is NBA Strayer, your daily podcast stop for all things NBA with a dash of, you got it, Strayer. I'm James Clements, a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Dorongai's NBA basketball podcast. And I'm here for you in Larryama Studios, New York City, New York, staring at eight weird Russian guys working on the roof of the brownstone across from me to take you through daily breakdowns of the hottest of NBA storylines. Who's doing what? How they're doing it? Where they're doing it? Who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today? So yeah, man, we're here. We're talking about what happened last night in the NBA, talking about a bunch of smack, about a bunch of other NBA junk, and we're going to cover off what the Australian players are up to. You know, it's the usual. Today we've got our Mark Bradke, Sweaty White Guy of the Week, and all the usual dumb segments that you've come to know and love, like That's Not a Knife, That's a Knife, Look at Me, Look at Me, the award-winning Yeah Nah, and a very special guest swinging by. It's Wednesday. That means it's Andrew Bogut is back for Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Plus, we wrap all the games from last night's slate and preview tonight's, and that's NBA Australia. Let's go! All right, you know, NBA Australia, we're daily. This is awesome. I love this role. Episode 13 already. And what we've done every day of those 13 episodes to date is the daily whip around, where we catch up on all things NBA in the daily whip around. What happened last night? Well, we'll quickly wrap up the news. Steph is going to be okay. Steph Curry, no structural damage to his ankle that he sprained on Monday night, will, however, miss at least 2 weeks. But that's a, you know, it's good news. He misses his hometown game, however, against the Charlotte Drab Horner Bobcats over there. Shouts to, well, this is a no-shout zone. So, hey, what up, Drabs, over there in Charlotte? The Charlotte Hornets, man, they had their chance here to, hey, be like, hey, Steph, come play for us next year. And Steph's like, nah, dog, I'm good. Devin Booker went down in the game. He's got a left adductor strain is the news, which is a massive bummer. So, hopefully he bounces back quickly, but let's do the Tuesday in a wrap. There was only three games last night. It was a very chill evening in the NBA. The dog and I were happy to sit on the couch, hang out, and only click between basically two games early on, and then have just one game we could watch later on. So the early games, let's go Phoenix at Toronto. This was, I mean, it wasn't great, to be honest. Phoenix 113 to Toronto 126. Phoenix lose after a back-to-back. On a back-to-back, they won in Philly, losing Toronto. Devin Booker had 19 and 8 after his 46 against Philly before he went down. And on the Toronto side, DeMar DeRozan over there. And Kyle Lowry. It's too confusing how Kyle Lowry can quite easily become Kyrie. DeMar had 20 and 8. Kyle had 20 and 10. Kyle! Not bad. Not bad. Toronto just out there just chugging along in their very particularly Toronto-Canadian polite way. They're third in the East, 15 and 7. Just out there smashing. Remember last year when Toronto leapt out? And everyone's like, oh, could this be the year that the Toronto Raptors are for serious? And it wasn't. So maybe this is a better way of going about it, Toronto. Just sneaky, sneaky. Just sit there. Keep your powder dry. See how you go. How about the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Utah Jazz? Utah going to OKC on the end of a back-to-back again. Unfortunately, though, they lose 94 to 100. A lot of hustle, a lot of defense, a lot of transition points in this game for OKC. It was very fun. Also, it might just be because, like, the players only broadcast is just fucking straight horrible. And so to actually go to like a normal broadcasting crew was a fucking change of pace. Utah had won six straight going to this, and they were on a back-to-back though. Thing is, OKC just buried them in the fourth, 31-12. Unbelievable run to end it. 30-12 to end the game. Just smashing. Cool things. Rusty Westbrook had a just dirty triple-double. 34-12-14. But look, you got to remember, if you like triple-doubles, you're a moron, and it doesn't mean he's good at basketball. That's a bit of sarcasm because of all it's all the people on the internet who are very, very happy to feel like, yeah, oh, nerds. Too many of them are like, oh, nah, it doesn't matter. Like, that's shit. Russell Westbrook's not good at basketball. I don't know. I say nerds. Steven Adams Brew. Yeah, he's averaging 22 points per game, 8.3 rebounds, and 85% from the field in this three-game winning streak for OKC. That's unreal. And Donovan Mitchell at 31. That's my boy. We're going to talk about him at length a little bit later, as we are almost doing every single friggin' day. How about Melo? He had 14 points, went 0 of 5 from 3, though. So a lot of these struggles, I feel like, for OKC can sort of come down to the fact that Carmelo Anthony just kind of keeps missing shots. Paul George had 21. Not much else on, like, I mean, Melo had 8 rebounds, whatever, but Steven Adams out there with 29 in this. And yeah, as I said, Rusty, 34 points, 14 assists, 13 rebounds. Not bad, Russell. Not fucking bad. Son, how about on the Utah side? How did Jingle and Joe go? Well, we'll get to that in the Australian Player Watch. Rudy Gobert in his second game back just looked a bit slow and a bit behind it, just like he was trying to catch up. He had 5 fouls and wasn't really a big part of this game. Weirdly enough, the Jazz did start Gobert in favors in this, and it kind of worked because they were like ahead, but I don't know, man. Something's got to give there, doesn't it? Something has got to give. Weirdest part about this game, however, was the OKC fans fucking singing Seven Nation Army. You fucking dipshits. Look, I know you're in the middle of assfuck nowhere over there in OKC, but Jesus Christ. You can't latch onto something that everybody else has already been doing for like the last fucking 6 years. Specifically because the Miami Heat did this against you in the fucking finals in 2012. You can't now like be out there going, oh, no. This is our song. This is our song. This is what we sing in Oklahoma City. Get the fuck out of here. Right, OKC, you are banned from singing Seven Nation Army. Fucking quit it! Did you hear me? Stop it. All right, that's a bad OKC. Still, 3-game winning streak. Good job. How about Washington-Portland? Well, there's one storyline in this. And the Wiz got smoked in Utah the night before by 49. Didn't matter because Bradley Beal went batshit and scored 51. He's like, fuck it, if we lose by 49, I got to score more than that. And 51 it was. That was awesome. So good job, Bradley Beal. We'll talk about you a little bit more in our award-winning segment. That's not a knife. That's a knife, obviously. Cool part was he outscored Dame and CJ by himself. Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, they combined for 44. 30 for Dame, 14 for CJ. Unfortunately, Nurk rolled an ankle as well. I don't know what the fuck is going on with ankles and big dudes and everybody so far this year, but it's not going great, right? We've got Nikola Jokic. We've got the extreme. The supercharged zinger over there getting busted down. Just ain't no good, huh? And now we've got Nurk. He's sort of hurt, but he took his free throw. Maybe he'll end up being okay. This is a weird game. Portland just couldn't get back in it because Bradley Beal was just such a fucking balls-out dominating legend. It was basically they tried to claw their way back into it in the fourth, and then Washington like, oh, wait, no, we're just going to go back up by 20? Fuck you. And it's like, all right, we'll play Wiz. The Wiz take it, 106-92 to the Portland. Not bad at all. Fun three games. You know, there was no sort of critical sort of stuff, but OKC winning against Utah was pretty pretty important. And Washington sort of getting back on track. Portland is suddenly like, you know, slipping, always slipping, twirling. They've lost three in a row. Not good. All right, time for the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
Nice.
That was a knife. And this time we've got Co. That's not a knife. That's a knife winners. We've got Rusty Westbrook. That was a filthy fucking triple-double. 34, 12, and 14 for Rusty. Got a triple-double taken away earlier in the day when a stat correction took away one of his rebounds and called it a team rebound. Just went and got it back on your Rusty. But you got to remember, if you like triple-doubles and if you score a triple-double, you're not good at basketball. And if you like them, you're a moron. Thanks, NBA Internet. Rusty, though, just looked fucking really good. It's weird. Like, the mixture of when Rusty looks good and how OKC play is obviously a strange one. And when Rusty's like, all right, I'm going to be like a facilitator, you know, get you guys involved, they just don't look that good. But when he's just like in a fucking groove and like, all right, man, I'm just do what I do. How about y'all play off me all proper like? And yeah, he comes up with 14 fucking assists. Like, it's not rocket surgery. Let Rusty be Rusty and let Paul George be Paul George and let Mello be Hoodie Mello or something. But it's weird, this question of like whether or not, like how OKC are good when Rusty's at his best with good teammates around him. It's something that they've got to figure out in games like this. They've got to go, all right, well, what got us there and what were the successful sort of outcomes for what we put out there? And I don't know. It'd be a lot easier if Melo started fucking canning wide open threes. Like, oh, five, man, you're killing me. Still, Rusty, that was a hell of a performance. Well done, Blood. But of course, the other one is fucking Bradley Beal, a career high 51. He goes 21 of 37 from the field. He had 37 field goal attempts. It's amazing. 5 of 12 from three. 51 points for Bradley Beal. Just put the team on his back. First time he'd scored 50 since high school, he reckoned. That's pretty cool. But well done, gentlemen. Rusty and Bradley Beal, you guys are today's NBA Australia approved performances of the evening.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Yeah, it was. Let's go to better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Well, not really. If you're gonna come at somebody, it might be Donovan Mitchell, because he's again our five-time repeat champ, better than Lonzo Ball. Last night for the Jazz, he had 31 points, 5 steals, 4 rebounds, 1 assist on 11 of 22 shooting, 5 of 12 from 3. That is unfucking real. Donovan, you're better than Lonzo Ball today. Last 5 games, though, for Donovan Mitchell, or as he's called on NBA Australia Twitter, Donovan fucking Mitchell. Last 5 games, 26.6 points, 3.6 assists, 2.2 rebounds on 52.3% shooting and 46.7% from 3. How much are Denver just going, wait. We traded the 13th pick, which was we traded Donovan Mitchell for fucking Trey Lyles and like this horrible ass bullshit of another draft pick. What the fuck are we doing? And it's a good question. What the fuck are you doing, you nugget morons? Jesus. So Tyler Lydon and Trey Lyles is what Donovan Mitchell got picked. That was 24. And anytime you can you trade for a dude named Tyler, you're probably going to end up on the wrong side of it. Anyway, Donovan Mitchell, you are better than Lonzo Ball today. I dig it. All right, coming up next, we've got Yeah Nah and the Look at Me, and the Mark Bradke Memorial Super Sweaty White Guy of the Week. That's all coming up in just a second. Yeah, all right, Yeah Nah. Y'all ready? It's the award-winning segment, Yeah Nah, where we have 3 Yeah Nahs. Take 3 NBA storylines, get a Yeah Nah, figure out if it's more yeah or more nah. Aaron Gordon is the most improved player in the NBA so far this year. How's this? Yeah Nah, yeah. Fucking hell. Aaron Gordon, from last year to this year, he's averaging almost 6 points better per game, almost 3 rebounds better per game. He's got a PR, a player efficiency rating, nerds, that's higher by about 6.5. Oh, actually 6 points. Jesus. 3-point percentage has jumped by 13%. He from 28.8 to 41.9, and his true shooting percentage is up nearly 10 percentage points. That's unbelievable, from 53 to 62. That's unbelievable. So, most improved, is that better than Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Andre Drummond?
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, fucking oath it is. Holy shit. Good on you, Aaron Gordon. Makes me actually want to go watch the Magic. So, you're doing something, right? Second year, nah. This popped up in the broadcast last night. Is Dame Lillard a top 5 point guard in the NBA? Yeah, nah. Nah. He might. He's easily the best fucking rapper. That's fine. And I love him, but you can't put him top 5. Rusty, Steph, Kyrie, John Wall, Chris Paul. You can just keep like naming point guards until you get to Dame, which is a goddamn shame because I do love him. I do love that Dame Lillard. He's probably the most fun point guard when he's like fucking cooking. Maybe Steph. Shit, that's a tough one, man. It's a tough one. So he's for Dame Lillard being a top 5 point guard. And lastly, again, one that popped up last night. So we talked about landing spots for DeAndre Jordan the other day. Should the Wizards be trying to trade for DeAndre Jordan? Yeah, nah. Yeah, fucking oath. Why not? Like, just why not? Give it a shot. What are you going to give up? This is the tough part. So the problem is for the Wiz, outside of their core of Beal, Wall, Otto Porter, they've only got like basically one tradable piece in Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre Jr. Don't forget that. Don't forget the Jr. Don't fuck around. Because you're going to have to give up Gortat. You're going to have to give up, what, picks coming out the wazoo. It's just weird, right? So I just don't know what could get a deal done for the Clippers end on this sort of stuff. So it's a bit brutal for the Wiz. But it makes so much fucking sense. DJ's younger than Gortat. And you got to remember that John Wall's only 27. Brad Beal's only 25. Otto Porter's only like 24. So he fills a role, but it's basically the same as Gortat. Doesn't need the ball, doesn't space the floor. He's a big mobile dude who can be a terror on fucking D inside and out. Kind of works, but what are you giving up to get him? That's the tough one. That's the fucking tough one there. Well, I mean, what are you going to give up? Satoransky? Sure, please take Satoransky. Markieff Morris? Well, if you suddenly get rid of Markieff Morris and Henry Bray Jr., like, what are you going to put around DJ? Is Otto Porter going to play the four full-time? It's tough, man. So, I don't know. It'd be cool if something could happen and if they, you know, drop enough picks in there. Maybe. It's a tough one, though. But that's a good one. Like, the Wiz, Toronto, Milwaukee, you could probably see it happening for those teams. And the fact that DJ actually hired an agent is pretty amazing. The problem for everybody else is that he hired basically all of Milwaukee's agent. Jeff Schwartzman, I think, is basically the agent for Jason Kidd, Mirza Teletovic, a bunch of other goddamn Milwaukee Bucks. So, sorry, other dudes. What are you going to do? That's all right. We're going to move on to look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day. Not even going to be basketball related, this one. So, Metallica's 2008 album, Death Magnetic, is really fucking good. It's almost 10 years old now. Thing is, it's now like a top 5 Metallica record album. Top 5 Metallica record. Good. God damn. So let's rank them. Master of Puppets, Ride the Lightning, Justice for All, Black Album, Death Magnetic. I think it's better than Kill 'Em All. Hardwired for Self-Destruct is good. Load, Reload, Sananga, and then that horrible Lou Reed collab. There you go. That was descending order. It's not bad. Don't know if it's that unpopular. Death Magnetic. Go have a listen to it. It's actually fucking badass. I don't know. It's Wednesday. That means he popped up last night. This means we've got the Mark Bradkey Memorial Super Sweaty White Guy of the Week. Today, this week, he got Dikembe finger wagged by Serge Ibaka last night while Dikembe was in attendance. This is amazing. And it was a nice reminder the big Ukrainian is a really fucking sweaty dude. So our Mark Bradkey Memorial Super Sweaty White Guy of the Week is Alex Len. On ya, Alex. That was great. Dude gets sweaty. Look at that goulash floating around. On you, Alex. You are our Mark Bradkey Memorial Super Sweaty White Guy of the Week. All right, coming up next, we got the Australian Player Watch. We're going to whip around and check out what all the Australian players are up to, what they did last night, or where they're going to be in the next day or two. It's pretty good. It's all coming up after this. Ah, yeah. The Australian Player Watch. You know, considering it was a quiet slate last night, not a massive amount happened, but we've got a couple of things coming up in the next few days for the Australian players. Ben Simmons doesn't play till Thursday, and I'm sure that'll be pretty fun, no doubt. You know, give me some more of that Ben Simmons fucking mainlined into the old veins over here. Is holy shit, is watching Ben Simmons make you feel good. Weirdly enough, he's actually playing a fellow Australian, Andrew Buckets Bogut. So, Lakers Sixers on Thursday night, that's going to be appointment viewing, I guess, just to watch him shred Lonzo Ball. Patty Mills plays the Heat tonight. Joe Ingles played OKC last night for the Jazz. Massive game for Jingling Joe. It was incredible. He had 16 points on 6 of 13 from the field. 4 assists, 2 rebounds, and just kissing fingers emoji. One amazing block on Carmelo Anthony that made Melo feel every day of his 34 years old. So Joe basically plays amazing defense on Paul George. Swings it, like, basically almost forces a turnover. OKC have to swing it back and around. Joe cuts in from the paint. The ball gets over to Melo at the three-point line in the corner. Joe goes all the way out. Melo goes, fuck this, like, skinny Toby Flenderson looking motherfucking white guy, I'm gonna shoot it over him. And Jingling Joe goes, yeah, nah, and blocked the shit out of it. It was amazing. Basically just took it out of the air, landed in his lap. Unfortunately, it was out of bounds, but it was great. 4 of 11 from 3 as well for Jingling Joe. Looked really good, but missed a couple of threes that probably could have kept them in it, but whatever. Has Jingling Joe missed a free throw this year? No. Is he still shooting better from three than from the field? Yes. That's amazing. It's NBA Australia's favorite stat so far this year. I'll tell you that much. Because why wouldn't it be? Fucking great stat. I love it. Matthew Dellavedova still hasn't played since November 15. Free Dally. They play, I believe, tonight. Let me just check. The Bucks play the Pistons. That's right. That'd be awesome. Oh, shit. Yeah, we're going to get to the whip around soon. But the Pistons will be good. So, Dally and Thon, Thong, play the Pistons in Milwaukee. Nice one. Aaron Baines plays the Mavs tonight. And remember, the Celtics are 13-1 with Baines in the starting lineup. And as mentioned, Andrew Bogut plays Thursday against the Sixers. How about a daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Ah, yeah. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, Kyrie. Well, didn't play last night, but he's playing the Mavs this evening. We do Kiwi Corner tomorrow, but it's worth noting that Steven Adams out there smashing. And it's Wednesday. How about, do you want a, I'm pretty sure you want one, an NBA Australia great stat line in NBA Australia history? Well, we mentioned Mark Brecky earlier, but let's go back in time. Join me, listeners. 20 years ago tomorrow. Mark Brecky was playing for the Philadelphia... Actually, 21 years ago tomorrow. I'll learn to add up at some point. 1996-97 NBA season. Mark Brecky is playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. He's a big, sweaty white guy. And he's paired up with Jerry Stackhouse, Allen Iverson, and Derek Coleman. It's Iverson's rookie year. Coleman's second year with the Sixers after being traded there from the Nets. Jerry's trying to figure out how to play next to Allen. It's not going to work out. Just a bit of a spoiler alert there. This Sixers team played against a post-Shaq Orlando Magic. That's right, because Shaq had forced his way out, going to the Lakers. This is the first year that Shaq was over in LA. The Sixers play the Orlando Magic. It's basically Horace Grant, Anthony Hardaway, Dennis Scott, and not much else. Ronnie Cicely was the new center in Orlando, which is not great. But the Orlando Magic were still good, and they kicked the shit out of the Sixers, 109-88. And that meant Mark Bradke got some motherfucking Bradke garbage time. Nice. His line, 4 minutes, 0 points, 0-2 from the field, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, but 1 block. On your big fella. On your big fella. That's pretty good. NBA Australia, great stat lines in NBA Australia history. What a throwback. I love it. Ah, that was a good one, wasn't it? It was something. It was certainly something. All right, coming up next, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board, and we're going to preview all of tonight's games for Wednesday, December 6th. Coming up next. Oh, yeah. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? It's pretty good. All right. Back in a sec. Right, NBA Australia, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller, Game Day Inspiration Board. What's Patty Mills inspiring us by doing today? Well, tweeting out Game Day Baller Game Day. Hashtag versus Miami, hashtag versus Ghost Bears Go. That puts us in a very good spot to preview all of tonight's games. We've got 10 games, so let's do it. Game previews! We're going to whip around each game in the NBA slate for tonight. We've got 10 of them, as I mentioned, so let's fucking do this. Kings at Cavs. Well, that'll be 13 straight for the Cavs then, won't it? I mean, give me the Cavs. The Cavs are going to win that. Sacramento are like the second worst team in the NBA. Bulls at Pacers. Man, it was like 3 years ago that this was one of the better matchups in basketball. Now you couldn't pay me with like a million beers to go watch this game. What is it? Victor Oladipo versus Chris Dunn. Man, the Bulls really need like Zach LaVine to come back at some point to make this seem vaguely fucking interesting. But at the same time, it's the way to tank. It's the right way. I mean, we're not going to complain when they got like fucking Marvin Bagley Jr. or Mo Bamba, are we? The Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, he's on a tear as well, so keep an eye out. Be interesting to see him go against Lowry. That's a girl named Markkanen. Nice one. Give me the Pacers because the Bulls are horrible. Hawks at Magic. God damn. I hate the Southeast Division so fucking much. It's just a shit show. So this is the spurned Dwight Howard teams, I guess. They're trying to get that Dwight Howard taste out of their mouths still. The Magic are like, dude, we've not even had a fucking winning season since we like had this guy. Gross. And the Hawks are like, did you see what happened to us last year? We are like now horrible. It's like, you got the Dwight stank. They've got that in common. So give me the Magic. I think they're better. And they'll probably win this one. Mavs at Celtics. This is going to be fun. How much envy do you think the Mavs look at the Celtics with? Like, instead of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, two young, up-and-coming, like, wing studs, the Mavs have got Harrison Barnes and Wes Matthews? Ouch. Gross! Anyway, nice uniform matchup. I really like this, and it's going to be fun to see Dennis Smith Jr. go against Kyrie and co. And, you know, it's always just fun to watch Dirk go against, like, a, you know, a big old powerhouse. But Mavs aren't very good, so Celtics are going to win that. Grizz at Knicks. No fizz, Grizz. They got back on track with a win against Minnesota. Can they do it against the Knicks? I say yes, because the Knicks might not have the Hardaway the Lesser and the Extreme Zinger Meal. He might not be back. He might be. So he might be playing, but he might be limited. Give me the Grizz in that one, visiting New York. Warriors at Hornets. Oh, no, Steph. That's goddamn... it's a goddamn shame. It's always like a massive thing when he goes home to Charlotte and plays. But what can he do? Nice one. Who is the coward Kevin Durant going to try to fight today? Is it going to Cody Zeller? He's been tossed 3 times. That's unfucking believable. He'd been tossed like 2 times ever before this year. KD, the coward Kevin Durant. Who are you going to fight? What are you going to do? Are you going to pick on Kemba Walker? Jesus Christ. Warriors are going to win this regardless. Even without Steph, I think they'll smoke it. Though, watch Kemba Walker go off for 40. Just a tip. Pistons at Bucks. Ooh, two long-time Eastern Conference, like, sad sacks. Finally piecing it together. Detroit at 14-9, Milwaukee 12-10. So they're the 4-6 seed at the moment. And we now get Andre Drummond versus the Greek Freak. This is a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky fun matchup, especially considering it's in Milwaukee and not having to watch it in that really bad, bad, bad Pistons-looking arena. Give me the Pistons, I want to say. I think they keep it rolling and like actually have another one of their sort of big wins. Nuggets at Pelicans. Goddamn injuries. This would have been really fun with Millsap and Joker versus Boogie in the Brow. Instead, we've just got Boogie. Is it a Jameer Nelson revenge game? Revenge! Maybe. Maybe. The Nuggets cut Jameer Nelson. He goes, all right, well, fuck you guys. I was your only point guard. And the Nuggets are like, yeah, we're cool with that. We've got Jamal Turnover Murray and Gary Harris basically running the point for us. Ugh. Pelicans, though, now have like Jameer Nelson, Rondo, and Jrue Holiday. So they've actually got 3 point guards. Hey, the old flip side. Richard Jefferson. He's sitting there because he's like, hey, you cut Jameer Nelson for me. That's nice. He actually played the other day as well. So this is Rondo versus Jamal and Gary. Boogie out there. He's going to fucking destroy Mason Plumlee. So give me the Pelicans in this one in a bit of a smashing. I think they're going to be pissed about that Warriors loss the other night and just smoke the Nuggets. Of course, though, it's the Pelicans. They could just go into a massive tailspin. You never know. Heat at Spurs. It's an NBA Finals rematch from four. Oh, my God. Isn't this weird? Heat, Spurs felt like it went on for a million years, but it was 4 years ago and apparently a fucking lifetime ago. Jesus. Still no Kawhi. Patty Mills is going to be out here trying to smash in this one. Game day, baller. Game day. Miami's still without Hassan Whiteside, so it sort of sucks a bit of the life out of this one. Spurs will probably beat them. LaMarcus and Pau Gasol, just going to be a bit too big, I think, for all the Heat's wings. And finally, Timberwolves at Clippers. It's Tibbs versus Doc. Now I am the master. To be fair, if the Clips lose this one, it could be Mike Woodson, Clippers coach. And I predict that the Timberwolves do go into LA and beat the Clips because the Clips are shithouse. All right. And that was the wrap. And you know what that means? If we're finished with the wrap, with the Timberwolves beating the Clippers, it means it's the end of NBA Australia for today. Nice one. How good was that? Ah, that was a good episode. That was fun. We punched through it. We had some good times. We had some bad. That's been NBA Australia for today. We'll be back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us over on Facebook at NBA Australia. You can even chuck us a follow on Insta, where we do our usual sort of dumb NBA Australia thing of the day. It's pretty funny, I guess. And just make sure you subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes and Google Play. Come on, chuck us a nice 5-star rating while you're at it. Go on. Thanks to From Oslo. Now House Hats. Well, you know, your boy Josh is now in House Hats, the best band in Australia. They've given us Faking the Bends, the intro and outro song for this. Extra special thanks to Green Green Green, Ramshackle Army, and Fascinator for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Go check them all out on Bandcamp. That's Green Green Green, Ramshackle Army, and Fascinator. Love them. Check them out, Bandcamp and Facey. They're fucking smoking. And that's it. So stick around for Andrew Bogut going through his Twitter for Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And we'll catch us all tomorrow on NBA Australia. Later, Hosen! All right. Welcome back to my new weekly show called Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because look, you can't just let these SJW snowflakes get away with their bullshit. And with Milo Yiannopoulos running fucking like hog wild in like Australia, like I've got to be over here like looking out for everybody else and hold everybody accountable, and I'll do it better than anyone. So let's go do it, eh? Let's go through Andrew Bogut's Twitter and slam a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Okay, at JD Nix, he writes, see the Herald Sun article about Vic government pushing for Ruckman in the AFL to now be called Ruck Person to reduce violence against women. They want it to be gender neutral. We've now gone PC mad. It's unbelievable. Oh man, that is like absolutely fucking ridiculous, mate. Man, oh man, surprised, not surprised. Yeah, that was a good one, Boggy. Oh, and look, some SJW dickhead has already replied. Fucking at Andrew Deplin says, I believe you mean person, oh person. That's pretty funny. Nice one. Glad someone caught that. Nice one. winky face. Still, that fucking PC culture is going fucking fully mental, I tell ya. Okay, what else is out there? Oh, watch out. So I've retweeted the Rex Chapman tweet saying there simply isn't enough money to pay the athletes NCAA. Because that dickhead Jimbo Fisher got $7.5 million a year to coach the Texas A&M college football team. That's fucking ridiculous, mate. And then this fucking genius at Ben Miller tweets back, $7.5 million divided by 460,000 NCAA athletes equals how much? Oh, you're a fucking dickhead, mate. Let me sort this out. Nice math, you dickhead. Nice one, Bogey. In fact, wait, fuck you, Ben Miller. I'm writing again. At Ben Miller, forget something? How about adding every other deal for coaches and ADs along with TV broadcast and merchandise ticket deals? Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, dickhead. That'll shut you up. This guy over here wants to have a go as well. At Calawan says, why not get a part-time job if you're going hungry at college? You've already got a sports scholarship. Get the job to pay for food and movies. What the fuck? I fucking worked at a local restaurant, you dickhead. And when did I say I was going hungry, you idiot snowflake? Cool story, though. Jesus. Okay, so what else? Oh, this is my guys from back home in Melbourne. At Ross and John from Free OW say, Ross's take on the action in Kensington last night. The left-wing loonies took on the right-wing loonies. Oh, I better retweet that one. And I'm going to say, the winner here being society. Fucking dickheads. How about I tweet as well, okay? This would be, I had a good day today. So, visited the LA Auto Show today. Absolutely huge event. Some interesting concepts on the horizon. Oh, look, this guy has replied already. At Jack Godfrey says, did you fit in many of the cars? Nice one. Nice one, Godfrey. Not many. Good one, Bogey. Okay, last one. At Max Rumor says, fuck you, Bogey. You right-wing flog. You're as bad as Andrew Bolt and Milo Yannonot. Oh, fuck you, Max. I'm fucking sick of this dickhead. Fuck you, you dickhead. You don't know me or my politics. You're just another libtard snowflake SJW. Go back to crying and being offended by everyone trying to make a joke, you dickhead. Yeah, nice one, Bogey. That got him. All right, that's it for this week. Tune in next week for more. Andrew Bogart slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.